Thank you very much, and thank you for coming to the session today. I'm going to give you a brief introduction about cotton yield monitors in case there are some of you in the audience who have not encountered these sensors before. And then I'm going to focus the presentation on a brochure that we've developed with the assistance of Cotton Incorporated that tries to explain how cotton yield maps, which are the end product of yield monitors, can benefit your farm operation or the research operation or whatever it is. There are a lot of people who are involved in the effort of developing the brochure, and I have their names listed here. They're from several states across the Cotton Belt. The process was driven by Dr. Ed Barnes from Cotton Incorporated, and I had the opportunity to coordinate the effort for all these people. The thing that was so nice about working on this is that the people who are primarily from universities that were on the previous slide provided information from farmer cooperators, producer cooperators, all across the Cotton Belt, and these are the farms that participated in the presentation that that you'll see. So the overall project goal for the brochure or the booklet was to promote the use of yield maps. Let me start again on that. Here's the copy of the booklet, and the goal was to, you know, provide information so that producers could understand the benefit of yield maps. And with that, we had a number of objectives to create the producer-friendly booklet, and there are copies of this booklet on the table just outside the door. And if we run out, I have a whole box over here. And then focus primarily on why yield maps can help a producer improve on-farm efficiency, just as Dr. Barber was saying a moment ago. We chose to use case studies from these working farms to demonstrate these principles, and we did try to show an economic benefit of how you could take information from a yield map and do management with it and then result in some kind of economic benefit. Okay, so, you know, when we talk about precision ag and we talk about yield monitoring, there's always one question: why do we do it? And this aerophotograph, and many presenters will show you similar aerophotographs, are the reason behind doing this. This is a field in southern Georgia, about 9 weeks into the cotton season. You can see this tremendous variability in how the plants are growing. So this variability shows up in the yield, as you all know. And the yield monitors allow us to capture this yield variability and see how well we are doing in different parts of the field and how we can change our management to address these areas. This is a little bit of a piece of history here. This is a peanut yield map, not a cotton yield map, but this is the first yield map I produced during my research career in Georgia. This was around 1995. And I use this whenever I talk about yield maps because I think it shows you the power of information you can get from a yield map. So the top there, without looking at what each of the colors mean, basically the blues and the greens show high yield, the yellows and the reds show low yield. And you can see that the low yields are on the right-hand side of the map. And the producer here knew that he was having a problem with nematodes, root knot nematodes affecting his peanut yield. So while the peanuts were inverted, we went and counted nematode damage on the peanut pods. And you can see the bottom map shows the concentration of damage to the peanut pods. There's a direct correlation between where the damage occurred and where the low yields occurred. And so the peanut producer started thinking, okay, well, this is clear evidence for me that I need to apply nematicide and control these nematodes. But then we started encouraging this person to think about the power of the information here. Peanuts were one crop in a four-year rotation. Okay, oops, excuse me. So then we started looking at how much yield he was losing because of the nematode damage and asked him to compare the loss in yield to the cost of applying the nematicide, which was specific to the nematodes that attacked the peanuts. And so the bottom line was, the nematicides cost more than the yield gains he would expect by killing the nematodes. So here's the power of information and how you can make the operation more efficient. It was not economically beneficial to apply the nematicide. Here I'd like to show you some comments made by another producer from Georgia. This is Mr. Mike Newberry, and he was speaking at a conference we used to have in Tifton, Georgia, where I work. It was called the Precision Ag Trade Show and Forum. And Mr. Newberry was speaking about the need for using yield monitors. So let me see if I can get that back up here.
The second missing puzzle piece is the development of yield monitors for cotton and peanuts. Yield maps will serve as both entrance exams and final exams and must be developed before I can proceed with any confidence in precision farming.
So the comment that he makes here that yield maps are the entrance exam and final exam for precision ag, I think, is very valid. And the reason we call it an entrance exam is the precision, the yield map will give you an understanding of how much variability you have in your field and whether it's worth addressing the variability. And if the yield map shows that you have yield variability and you do management to address the variability, then the yield map at the end of that season or the following seasons will tell you how well you've done with your management practices. That's why it's the entrance exam and the final exam. And I emphasize this to students I teach in the precision ag class I have at the University of Georgia. And I see one of my former students in here, Mr. Fulmer, and I'm sure he remembers this quote very well. Okay, so I'm going to show you some examples of yield maps. Now, these are all cotton yield maps produced over different time periods, all from Georgia for the time being. This is obviously a field that's irrigated by a center pivot. And just by producing this yield map, the producer can see some very obvious management changes that can be made. One is you can see the dry corner here, okay? Very low yields, bright red, which means low yields. Then you can see some really interesting patterns in the rest of the field. You see some really high yield, high dark green circles in here. So in this particular field, that pivot had some major leaks in it. And in the areas of the leaks, the yield was much higher than the rest of the field. So the lesson you learn immediately is more water produced more yield from this field. You still have to do the economic analysis to see if it's feasible to irrigate more and what kind of return you get. And another obvious feature is this field has quite a large slope. And so there were terraces. And in the upslope part of the terraces in places where water was trapped, the yield increased as well. So obvious management things that can be done to improve yields just by looking at this yield map. Here's another yield map of a field in southern Georgia, again for cotton. And what I'd like you to notice here is that I show you the yield map, and we're going from reds, which are low yields, to oranges, which are in lower intermediate yields, to blues and blacks, which are very high. And you can see the spatial features of the field on the aerial photographs and how these correspond to the yield map. There's one other thing that's really interesting in this yield map. You can see some little arcs here. Can anybody tell me what these little arcs result from? What would cause those little arcs that you see here? Anybody have a guess? Pivot wheels. Yeah, those are the pivot tracks. So the yield monitors have such high resolution, you can actually pick out the yield, the pivot tracks in these fields. So they're very good sensors. Okay, so this is part of the picture, okay? The yield maps are part of the answer here. They show you the yield variability. But I think what we really need to be doing is creating profit maps from these yield maps. The profit maps are a very basic tool for letting a producer understand exactly where the field is producing revenue and where the field is causing revenue losses. So in these particular maps, I have two scenarios. This was this scenario here is with the high cotton prices we had in 2011, so £1 per lint, $1 per pound of lint, and these are the prices in 2012, which were three quarters of a dollar for a pound of lint. So you can see the dramatic differences in yield, in profit and losses in this field just by the 25-cent difference in price. So obviously greens are very high profits and reds are very low profits. Areas that are red actually are net revenue losses in that field. So by farming those areas in the field, this particular farmer actually lost money. Okay, he would have been better off by not farming the areas that are shown in red in this part of the field. So when you look at the budget for the entire field, more money would have been had at the end of the season by not farming those areas completely. So, of course, it's not reasonable to leave out areas within the field. But look at this area down here, which is also a dry spot. You know, most years, this is going to be a revenue loss area. So why continue to farm that part of the field? It doesn't make any sense. Okay, so now I'm going to shift gears a little bit and give a short overview of the yield monitors that are available for cotton at the moment. It's going to take just a few minutes, and then I'll move directly into highlighting some of the case studies that we have in the brochure. So when we try to design yield monitors for farm equipment, we always have to do a design analysis to see where on the machine is the best place to put a yield monitor. And all of you that are involved in the cotton industry know how cotton pickers work, so I won't belabor that point. But it's clear that the best point to put a yield monitor would be somewhere in the ducts or somewhere in the basket, because that's where the clean yield ends up. And so in the late 90s, when people were developing yield monitors for cotton, there were a lot of these studies done. Several of the equipment companies produced research projects to look at where we could do all this. And it turns out that the ducts are really the best place to put the sensors. And there are two types of sensors that are available on the market. There are the optical sensors, and they all work along a similar principle, even though they're slightly different from each other. Essentially, what happens is that you put an emitter on one side of a duct and a receiver on the other side of the duct, and you're transmitting light beams across this duct, and the light beams are interrupted by the cotton balls flowing up through the duct, and there's some kind of counting device that counts interruptions or so on. Each yield sensor that uses these optical algorithms works slightly differently. Here's an example of a study that I was doing with several colleagues of mine at the University of Georgia a few years ago, where we were mounting optical sensors of different types on one picker and running them through the field at the same time so that we can compare them to each other, so that we're all seeing the same flow of cotton. Some of them that still remain on the market are the Ag Leader. This is a very good yield monitor. This was produced by Dr. Wilkerson at the University of Tennessee. He designed and developed it, and now it's marketed through Ag Leader. This is still on the market and is compatible with many generations of Ag Leader user interfaces. So if you have an Ag Leader user interface for your grain combine, you can use the cotton yield monitor as well with that user interface. Here's another optical yield monitor that's marginally on the market. Basically, that means that this has been developed and it's a good product, but it's not commercially available through stores or dealerships. But the developer, Dr. Alex Thomason, who's at Texas A&M University, told me just the other day, and this is a direct quote from him, that anybody who's interested in this could call him and he may be able to put a kit together for you. The main advantage of this yield monitor over the others is that it only requires a sensor on one side of the duct. Essentially, it's measuring the reflectance of the energy from the cotton. And so it eliminates some of the alignment problems we have when we have an emitter and a receiver on opposite ends of the duct. It takes a little more work to put them in. We have tested this yield monitor, and it's very good and very reliable as well. So the recent yield monitor that come on the market is something that's offered by John Deere. This uses a completely different concept from the others. It uses microwave energy to measure the cotton's flowing through the ducts. The microwave emitters and the receiver are mounted behind the duct and emit microwave energy downwards, so not in the cab where the person is operating. This is a very low level of microwave energy. It's not dangerous. And essentially, they use the reflectance of this microwave energy to count how much cotton is coming through the duct. The only limitation to this particular sensor is that it requires a newer machine. It requires plastic ducts for it to operate properly, because you know that if you put something metallic in your microwave oven, it doesn't go over real well. This is a brochure that my group developed a few years ago, where we were evaluating these yield monitors in real time. This is a little bit dated now, because some of the sensors we evaluated are off the market, but you can still download this brochure from the Cotton Inc. site. This is the site, and if you're interested in any kind of precision ag work that's associated with cotton, there's a wealth of information on this website. This presentation is being recorded, so later on you can go find this link and go to these resources. But the original one is here. The one I'll be talking about in a few minutes is there. And there's another product here that talks about using sensors to apply inputs on cotton that will be discussed a little bit later as well. So you can get all of these from the Cotton Inc. website. So now to the brochure that we developed this year, and it's just being released now. What I want to focus on here are these on-farm case studies, just some of them that are included in the brochure, because I don't have time to go through all of them, and specifically how using yield maps has shown economic benefit to the farms that provided the case studies. So economic benefit in precision ag is a real difficult thing to deal with. It requires so much information, and there are generally few resources and less time to collect this information. But guidelines for collecting this economic information have been out for a long, long time. This is a publication that was put out, I think, through Purdue University about 10 to 12 years ago. It's still downloadable from the internet, and it shows, you know, very good examples of how you can take information and find what the economic benefit of is. And the particular example I have here shows that, you know, what kind of operation you do and how you can actually, over the years, show what kind of economic benefit you gain by taking the information from a yield map, fixing the management problem it identifies, and then measuring the economic benefit over a period of years, and comparing the economic benefit to what you could have done with your money if you had put it, let's say, in a CD in a bank. Those are the kind of scenarios it allows you to do. So the first case study that I'd like to discuss is one that Dr. Randy Taylor and Mr. Wes Porter contributed from Oklahoma. This was a field of about 63 acres, and they identified through yield maps, and I'll show you the yield maps in the next slide, that there was low yielding area in part of the field. And the problem after investigation was that there was some blocked drain tile in this field. And so the farmer took the initiative to repair the drain tile. And then in consecutive years, they measured the yield in this area where the drain tile was repaired and saw what economic benefit they gained from that. And you can see essentially that this was a very smart decision. It cost $1,500 to fix the drain tile, and the very next year they gained $7,700 from that part of the field that was repaired. So again, this is the power that you can harness from a yield map. And I'll show you the two yield maps. So this is the yield map from 2008. You can see the low yielding area over here to the left side, lower left side of the field. This was where the drain tile was blocked, the drain tile was repaired. And then in the next year, you can see that the yield was similar to the rest of the field. Okay, so there was a substantial gain in yield by doing this minor repair. Now, what really the long-term economic benefit would show you is, you know, how this increase in yield would aggregate over the years and what long-term benefit you have, which is what we have not included that in our brochure. But this is really what is important to see long-term. Okay, so now I'm going to move to the second case study. This is from Tennessee, was contributed by Dr. Bushermole, who's on the program next. And this is a larger field, 108 acres, that had a cotton and corn crop in it. And essentially here with the yield maps, the producer was able to identify that he had a lot of high soil, that he had high soil and yield variability. So high soil variability, which resulted in high yield variability. There was not an obvious management thing to do, like fix drain tile, you know, or amend the soil. So the steps that were taken here were to address the variability. How do I improve my efficiency in this field by doing precision ag management? And the management practice they chose to do in this particular field was to address soil variability by doing variable rate seeding and variable rate application of nutrients. And the benefit, the economic benefit, now this is just how much they gained in annual production costs, was that they had a $24 per acre reduction in production costs by applying these precision ag services. We haven't documented what yield gains might have resulted from this operation to this point. So here are the fields that actually blocks of fields that were put together. On the left here is the yield map for cotton, which shows, you know, tremendous variability in yields, as you can see, from very low to very high yields across that field. And in these two adjacent maps, you see the information was used from the yield map to create a variable rate nitrogen application map for corn and also a variable rate seeding map for corn. So in the areas where you have high yields and high yield potential, you add higher seed to capitalize on that yield potential of those soils. In the areas where you have low yield potential because of poor soils, you reduce the number of seeds so the plants have more opportunity to compete for the resources that are available. This is a very sound strategy for addressing low yielding soils in fields. And the technology is available now to do variable rate seeding pretty easily. It's costly, but it's a good investment in my opinion. And this is the third and final case study that I'll present to you today. There are two additional case studies in the brochure. This one is from Alabama and was contributed by Dr. John Fulton. And in this particular field, they identified again a very low yielding area. And this particular producer took a different approach to managing that low yielding area. He decided that he was going to take this area out of production for a while. He was going to add a lot of gin trash to it to build up the organic matter, planted grass to it and left it fallow for 4 years, and then came back and started cropping it as normal. So here are a series of yield maps at the top part of the field, the top part of the slide, excuse me, that show you the low yielding area. So there's a band of low yielding area here. You can see it in this map as well. And this little piece of it here and here. And so the producer took this area out of production, out of the gin trash, left it fell 4 years, and then came back. And you can see here the corn map for 2010 shows a significant improvement in yields during that in that part. They took that information one step further, though. They used the yield maps to also create variable rate seeding maps for corn, where they were putting lower seed rates in areas that had, so the colors are reversed here. The lower seed rates are the greens and the higher seed rates are the red. And so this area here that in, that had lower yield potential now has a lower seed rate as well. And so they can maximize the potential of that that site. So there's some general conclusions that I've drawn and several colleagues of mine have drawn by using yield monitors and creating yield maps over the years. You know, they're very, very valuable tools. And if you don't remember anything else, just remember that that key phrase that yield maps are the entrance exam and the final exam for precision ag. Because if you're recommending precision ag services, if you're a consultant or if you're a producer that's thinking into getting into precision ag, you really can't document the effect of your management unless you have these yield maps. So they're a very valuable tool. My personal opinion is that the best way to take advantage of the information provided by yield map is to convert them to profit maps, because then you see dollars and cents of what am I getting out of these different parts of the field, and are my specific management practices really having an effect in the areas that I'm trying to amend. So those are the two overall general messages. Specifically with the case studies, I think we need many, many more case studies that show the economic benefits of using these. So as more people start using yield monitors and developing yield maps, I think it's very important for producers and consultants to start thinking ahead of how do I collect the economic data that are going to allow me to determine what the benefit is going to be here. And I think we really need to engage our ag economists more actively in this procedure, because generally it's engineers or agronomists doing this kind of work, and we don't really think ahead to bring the economists into the equation early on. So in the end, we're always, oh, you didn't collect these data? Well, I can't help you too much without these data. So it's important to have the economists involved in the very beginning. And that's the end of my presentation. I think we've got about 5 minutes for questions, so I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have. Are there any questions? Yes, sir.
Have you done any studies with yield monitors and cotton strippers?
I have not personally worked with cotton strippers, but there should be some people from Texas A&M here who may have worked with cotton strippers, or from Oklahoma. Wes, have you guys worked with strippers at all? Who would like to address that?
John, I think you're being put on. Yeah.
There's been a little bit of work done with the yield monitors on strippers over the years. Since Deere released this new microwave-based system, there hasn't been a whole lot of research done on that. But we're going to try to pick some of that up and take another look at it here in the next couple of years coming up. They haven't been as successful, the yield monitors on strippers, for a host of reasons, as they are on the pickers. That's something that we hope to get some more information on and try to make this technology a little bit more applicable to strip bars.
Could you elaborate of why it's not been as successful in the strippers?
Most of the problem comes in the trash content. You're dealing with a lot more variability in the mass flow that's being sensed, and that's primarily traced back to the trash content.
So this raises an interesting point, which I did not include in my presentation, that to properly use yield monitors, they have to be calibrated, which means that at the beginning of the season, and ideally as you change varieties and change fields, 2 to 3 loads from the cotton picker need to be weighed, and that information used to calibrate the yield monitor. It's very important that that's done, and this is certainly an inhibiting factor in the adoption of yield monitors. We did a study in Georgia in the early 2000s where we calibrated a yield monitor at the beginning of the season, ran it to many different fields and many different varieties, and the performance definitely declined over time. You could still get a nice yield map that showed the different patterns, but you didn't get very accurate data in terms of how much the yield was. So calibration is an inhibiting factor because it takes time and additional effort to do. But it's really necessary if you want more than just patterns.
Also, we've looked, we're basically just starting to get our feet wet. The agar plan, that's one. I think the deer's going to be my potentially better for it. But I've got 2 or 3 years worth of data off an agar plan on a stripper. And I'm starting to look at it a little bit. And we've got good trends. We put one of these ag leader systems, and UGA did it years ago. We just kind of followed their footsteps on the peanut combine. And in the fields, so the guy does a pretty good job of rotation. So I've got like peanut yield data from last year and cotton yield data from previous year on the same field, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm seeing really similar trends.